Amen. Thank you, Ariel. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, quickly to Colossians chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 17 through 24. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Title of the message tonight, who's number two? Who's number two? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the chance we have to gather, sing praises to your name and fellowship. Lord, to laugh. Thank you for all the gifts you give to us so abundantly. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your blessings in our lives. We pray that you'd bless now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul gives instructions concerning a lot of relationships, a lot of situations here in Colossians, and also in Ephesians, he does the same thing. Following the passage that we read for our text, he instructs bosses, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And then he gives some all-encompassing overall advice to cover all relationships, maybe not covered to that point in this epistle. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, making good use of the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. In Ephesians, we find in a similar vein, a counsel and instructions in regards to a lot of different relationships. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so on through the rest of that passage, talking about the wives' relationship to the husbands, the husband to the wives. And then you come to chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, in both Ephesians and Colossians, there is teaching regarding bosses and employees, but the majority of the teaching is in regards to the family, the home, in the passages that we looked at, the husband, the wife, the children, the relationship, father, mother, all of that. The home is foundational, foundational to society, foundational to the church. And when homes are messed up, society suffers. The church suffers. The devil is waging an all-out war on the family. The devil would like to destroy the home, destroy the marriage relationship. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We ought not be ignorant of the devil's devices. We ought not be ignorant of the devil's tactics. We ought not be ignorant of the devil's strategy. We ought not be ignorant of the devil's target. The devil would love to break up your home. He would love to destroy your marriage. He would like to ruin your family. And Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't allow him room in your relationship. Don't allow him room in your family to do his dirty work. Now, if I were to ask you, in order of importance, and don't answer out loud, but just think in your mind, if I were to ask you in order of importance, the top five priorities in your life, listed in order, your list would probably have God number one. Even if you don't think that's true in your life, that would be your ideal, that would be your goal, and that would be your answer probably. You'd probably put God number one. Priorities in my life, well, God is number one. Number two, you would probably put family. You'd put family. And then three, four, and five would be a number of other things, and the list would probably get a little jumbled up there where some people would switch things around in accordance with somebody else's answers. But probably just about everybody in here would have God number one. You're in church on Sunday night. Probably just about everybody in here would have the family number two. But I would ask you tonight, does your life reflect that answer? How you spend your discretionary time, would somebody who is watching your life say, yeah, God's number one in their life, and family's number two? If they were watching your life on the sidelines and watching how you spend your discretionary time, would that be their opinion? When John Foster Dulles was Secretary of State many, many years ago, he called to General Douglas MacArthur's home one day. And mistaking Dulles's voice on the phone for that of an aide that they had worked with and worked in their home, and asking for MacArthur, Mrs. MacArthur snapped and she said, "MacArthur is not here. MacArthur is where MacArthur always is, down at that office." And with that, she hung up abruptly. Within minutes, General Douglas MacArthur received a call from John Foster Dulles and saying, "You need to get a home at once, boy. Your home front is crumbling. And go home. Be with your family." The family is important to God. In fact, around the instructions in Colossians concerning the home, he ties it in with our relationship to Him. That's what he wraps everything up in. He says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And then he ends with, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And in between those verses, he talks to wives and to husbands and to children and fathers and a little bit to servants. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And then at the end of that passage, the next chapter, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And in between those passages, he talks to wives and husbands and children and fathers and a little bit to servants. To husbands, Peter ties things together very directly. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And so the family relationship in Scripture is tied in very closely to our relationship with God. God intends for us to have a strong, good, biblical relationship wherever we might find ourselves in the equation tonight. As a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, a grandfather, grandmother, as children, whoever. And tonight you might say, "Well, I live by myself." Well, even to the family of God. You have a greater family, as we talked about previously. But God ties in those relationships as being part of our relationship with Him. And then what we're doing in those relationships, we're to do it as unto the Lord. We're to do it to glorify the Lord. The Lord is deeply concerned about the relationships you have tonight. They're priority to Him. If they're not priority to us, then our biblical values are messed up. If we don't consider those very important relationships, if we can just answer glibly, "Oh yeah, family number two," but our lives don't reflect it, then we're not living in accordance with biblical principles. To pastors, Paul writes, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? To deacons, Paul writes, 1 Timothy 3:12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. And so we find that God places great emphasis, great stress upon the home, the family relationships. After the death of his wife, J. Sterling Morgan, a member many decades ago of President Cleveland's cabinet, added to the ordinary inscription on her tombstone these words, and the mother of Joy, Paul, and Mark Morgan. That's what he had added to the tombstone in the cemetery. And then he summoned all of his children together, and they took a trip down to the cemetery. And he showed them what he had added to the tombstone. He wanted to impress upon them his children life's seriousness. And so in front of that tombstone, as he had them read it, he said to them, children, I want you to see what is written on your mother's tombstone. He said, if any one of you ever does anything which she would be ashamed of if she were alive, I will chisel your name off. That was enough, history records for us, to keep the children in check. They loved their mother devoutly, and they knew her life and her example, and they purposed to live in such a way that she would not be ashamed of them were she still alive. Someone wrote this, there are little eyes upon you and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in everything you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day, he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. Oh, the power of example. Spend time together. If you're too busy to spend time together, well, then you're too busy. You're too busy. Don't say, oh, the family's number two, and then neglect them day after day, week after week, month after month. Well, one day we'll have to know the family's important. God places it to be high priority. We need to live like it's high priority. In his autobiography, A Time to Heal, former President Gerald Ford said his parents had three rules. Tell the truth. Work hard. And come to dinner on time. And he said, woe unto any of us who violated those rules. And it's important in that family that the family spend time together. And around the dinner table every evening, a dinner would stretch on as they spent time just rehearsing the day and sharing each other's lives. And teach by principle and precept, yes, but teach by example. Teach by example. Model the Christian life. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Titus 2 verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Titus 2:10, adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Hebrews 6:9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. There are some things that are supposed to accompany salvation. There are some things that are supposed to go along with being a born-again child of God. And moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads, may we model those for the generations following. Those things that accompany salvation, that grace that is supposed to be ever-growing in our lives as we grow in our Christian walk. The fruit of the Spirit that is supposed to just come out of us as a result of having a close walk with God. Those things that accompany salvation, if we have them in abundance, our kids will not turn away from the faith. They'll not be burnt out on the Christian life because they see that it works in our lives. If they don't see that it works in our lives, maybe one day they'll say, why bother with this? What's the point in wasting time? I can't see that it's done much for mom and dad. Oh, that we might have those things that accompany salvation. Oh, that we might model. You're not going to be perfect. There are no perfect people in this world. The only perfect one was Jesus Christ. But when you sin, when you do wrong, when you mess up, get up and go on. Make things right. Set the example for the kids, the little eyes that are watching you, that are following after you. Paul could write to the Philippian church, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul didn't say, do what I say, not what I do. He said, you can watch my life, follow after the example. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I wonder, dads, moms, granddads, grandmoms, senior saints in the church, would we be comfortable saying that? You can watch what I do, observe what I do. Proverbs 22:20, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. You realize, parents, you raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there are going to be those that are going to reproach you. There may be those that, oh, you're too strict. Oh, you're too narrow-minded. Oh, you don't let them do anything. You're trying to shelter them. The world's going to be a shock to them when they grow up. Yeah, I hope so. That's what I wanted for all my kids. I wanted the world to be a shock to them. I didn't want them to be comfortable with the way the world's going. I didn't want that to seem normal. I didn't want that to be the way things are. No, that's the way things aren't supposed to be. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. I wanted the world to be a shock. I don't want them to get used to it. I don't want them to get comfortable. I'm not comfortable in this world. I don't want my kids to be comfortable in this world. This world hates my God. Oh, God blesses. God shows his favor, all that. I'm not complaining. But the reality is we're living for a different world. We're living for a better world. We're living for a world where there's no more sin. In the midst of these times, there's sin and temptation and degradation and increasing darkness. We shouldn't be comfortable in this world. We sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And oh, thank God for that. Thank God this isn't our final destination. Thank God we're just passing through. And so I wanted to raise my kids where the world would be a shock to them. And I hope that's how you want to raise your kids and your grandkids. J. Edgar Hoover, first director of the FBI, back when it was still an honorable institution, said, if I had a son, I'd do one thing. I'd tell the truth. I'd never let him catch me in a lie. In return, I'd insist that he tell the truth. When children go astray, it isn't the fault of the children, but of their parents. A spoiled boy grows into a spoiled man. I'd try to be a pal to my boy. I'd have my son go to church. What's more, I'd go to church with him. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And in between those passages, God says, fathers, do this. Husbands, wives, children, do this. And he gives all that instruction. Because all of that is important to God. May it be important to us. Who's number two? Who's really number two? Oh, number one, God's number one. Who's number two? All the family. Does your life reflect that you really believe that? Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, thank you for the chance we've had to gather, to assemble, to rejoice in you. I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.